Welcome to Fresh Voices, ILTA's podcast series on careers in legal tech. The episode you're about to hear is particularly relevant to professionals in Europe. Hi, everyone, and welcome. Welcome to ILTA's Fresh Voices podcast series. My name is Mercedes, and I am ILTA Europe's community manager.
And I'm Leanne Williams, business analyst and founder of the Inclusive Tech Community.
Fantastic. So ILTA and Inclusive Tech have collaborated on this podcast series in order to showcase the different opportunities in the technology industry and to showcase how they can be accessible to all.
Each episode of the podcast, we'll be discussing our thoughts and views on the latest hot topics, and we'll be joined by someone from the tech industry to give us a little insight into their role. Our theme today is career development, then versus now. We are joined by Karim Nassar. Welcome, Karim. Thank you for joining us today. If you'd like to introduce yourself and your role.
Yeah, thanks, Leanne. I'm very happy to be here and thanks for having me. I'm Karim and I work at Travis Smith I've actually recently been promoted to legal tech products manager. Before that, I was working as a product engineer for about 2 years here at Travis Smith and all the legal tech products that the lawyers work with, and sort of making sure that the communication between the lawyers and the engineers, you know, there's sometimes a gap there because the lawyers obviously are really focused on sort of the legal and the engineers are very focused on the tech, and you end up sort of having this gap in the middle. And I really came in to fill that gap, sort of create those channels of communication, so that we can make sure that whatever products we're dealing with are in line with the requirements of the lawyers. So that's a really sort of high level overview of the kind of things that I was doing as a product engineer.
Wow. And then now promoted, congratulations, to legal product manager. I got that right?
Yes, you did. Yeah. Yeah, recently got promoted. Yeah.
Is it a very similar role or is it completely different?
It's very similar in a lot of ways, in the sense that I'm still handling, you know, the sort of that gap and making sure that that communication channel is open. Well, what's changed really is that now I have a team. I'm now in a management position. Thank you. I'm now in a management position, and I have a team of people, and so we all work together now to make sure that the service delivery for the lawyers is as good as it can be, and make sure that, you know, essentially the lawyers are constantly coming up with new ideas. They're constantly thinking about new products. We're always in need of new products to fill requirements for our clients, or, you know, create more efficient processes, or even, you know, changing circumstances like COVID, for example, where everybody started working from home. We saw a huge change in working practices when it came to signing documents, for example. Then there was a need for, you know, electronic signing capability, and, you know, that's a legal product, right? That's a legal tech product. And actually, my team worked really, really hard to make sure that we'd be able to deliver that, and that the lawyers, you know, we weren't missing out on any crucial deals because we weren't able to sign in the time of COVID. So I think that's a really good example of the kinds of things that we deal with.
Yeah, I would be excited to get to see all the new products that would be coming before everyone else, and, like, you know, think about the ideas and all the different things it could do. It must be, I don't know, I'd be excited by getting to be the first look.
Yeah, it is really exciting. I think the lawyers, they really like engaging with us as well. They really like engaging with our team. You know, I think, like you said, we often have access to some cutting edge technologies, and we're very aware of the market. We're extremely aware of the market. You know, have very good relationships throughout the legal tech community. It just means, yeah, as you said, we're constantly up to date with whatever startups are out there, whatever new technology is coming. But also, we actually have an engineering capability at Travis Smith. We actually have an engineering team. Like I said, I work very, very closely with them, and we build our own products too. So, you know, we're constantly sort of talking to the lawyers and making sure that what we're building, what we're developing is in line with what they want, you know, and sort of feeding that back to the engineers. Sometimes you have, you know, a communication difficulty where maybe the engineers are really, really focused on the tech and sort of how it's going to work from a tech perspective and be as efficient as possible. And then the lawyers are more, you know, focused on, you know, the user experience and making sure that it's as safe as possible because they're very risk averse. Rightfully so, and sort of, you know, meeting somewhere in the middle and making sure that you end up with a product that sort of has the best of both. That's really what we're all about.
And Karim, where does this role sit in the wider business?
Sits in business services. We're part of the technology team. And actually, you know, we work very closely with sort of all facets of technology, because of course, a lot of the products that we develop, you know, will need input from, say, infrastructure, for example, and security. And all of the products that we're not developing, but we got off the shelf, like, you know, e-signing solution of choice, mm-hmm. which is DocuSign in our case, you know, we're going to need to work very closely with tech support, for example, for all of the issues that are coming through on that. And, you know, so we actually work with the tech team as a whole, but we do sit in sort of business services.
Okay. I find that it's so interesting because we've had a lot of conversations with members about COVID as an accelerator. So it seems like from what you're saying that it's been a great opportunity to capitalize on opportunities more within the firm with technology. So I think that it's so nice to hear that someone's development during COVID has been good. Like it hasn't been, you know, you've actually grown a team and, you know, you've managed to grow in your role as well. So that's fantastic for us. On that note, I just want to go back to the theme we began on, which is career development then versus now. And if you don't mind my asking, what has career development looked like for you in the past 3 to 6 months?
Yeah, you know, I think career development is tied to your company and in some sense, and Travis Smith have been, you know, they've been great in the sense that they've given me sort of all the opportunities that I could ask for. When I started about 2 years ago, I joined a team, we were only four at the time. And you know, because legal technology is sort of in its infancy and it's growing and moving very, very quickly, our team's grown and we're now 12, and that's happened in sort of just
wow,
2 years.
And
it's still growing. I now obviously am managing two people, so that's another two people, and it's just constantly growing. So, you know, that's an opportunity that, you know, I'm thankful to Travis Smith for. I'm thankful to my boss, Sean Curran, for as well. And, you know, it comes because there's a demand there. You know, we're in a business which is moving very fast. Tech is growing extremely quickly, you know, and if you told someone maybe 5 years ago that a law firm would have an engineering capability and a tech team that's growing that quickly, almost like a startup, you know, they would have said that, you know, they would have said it's never going to happen. And here we are. And I think that's really telling of sort of where this market is going. You know, I'm talking about legal tech here specifically, but I think it's true across the entire tech sector. You know, we saw it in fintech as well. It grew so quickly and it happened really, really fast. So yeah, in terms of my personal career development, you know, I came in here, I was a paralegal before, so I have a little bit of sort of legal knowledge. And they, like I said, they needed someone to fill that gap. And then things just happened so quickly. You know, we started being more and more in demand. The lawyers were really excited to speak to me to sort of get that engineering capability. They're excited about automating processes that they've been doing for years manually, you know, and we were able to do that for them. And we started building that integrity sort of from within the firm. And about a year ago when COVID hit, like you said, it acted as an accelerator. And probably the absolute best example of that, like I said, is the e-signing solutions. You know, COVID sort of happened overnight. We needed to get capability in for electronic signing. We found DocuSign, and at first we were doing the process completely manually, and then I had to bring in somebody, and that's sort of where the management, where I started sort of managing someone. Oliver Mitchell came in, started working with me as an intern, and he started developing as well. We were making sure that we could deliver DocuSign for the lawyers and make sure that all of our deals were able to close, and that process being done manually. It was taking maybe, I would say, something like 8 hours for us to set up a Matter account and have that delivered to the lawyers. And we were doing that for a few months. And then we realized, actually, why don't we try and automate this? We passed it over to the engineers, started having a conversation with the engineers. They started thinking about how we could speed up the process, and they built something. We started using that, which cut the time down from 8 hours to about an hour and a half. At this time, sort of the number of DocuSign requests was skyrocketing. So thank God we got that, you know, to automation in place. And now a year later, we've actually got a new automated process in again, which is completely self-serve. We're going to put it in the hands of the lawyers. And now we've gone from sort of spending 8 hours to deliver the service to not having to do anything whatsoever. The lawyers deliver it to themselves because it's completely automated. And I think that's, you know, a really good example of sort of the journey we go on with a lot of these products.
It's so interesting how, like Mercedes said earlier, like COVID has accelerated career development. It sounds like for you as well, doing that DocuSign stuff has been really beneficial. But you mentioned that you were a paralegal before, and then you've gone into a tech role that sort of, you know, product engineer. That, I don't know, do you need like real techie expertise? And how did you get the skills that you needed as a product engineer being, you know, virtual? Do you think you'd have been able to do it better if it was pre-COVID, all in person?
Yeah, well, I've always been interested in technology. I think, you know, that's an important point, that I've always been really interested in technology. I've always sort of been up to date with tech. I actually did a physics degree at university. Wow. So, you know, I already had that sort of STEM background.
You don't love yourself, do you, Karim? Specializing in physics. I'm like, what?
That's tricky.
And one of the hardest parts of science.
I left school and it was what I was good at. So yeah, I didn't know what I wanted to do when I left school. And you just, you know, I think a lot of people sort of default to what they're good at and what they enjoy at the time. And for me, it was physics. So when I did physics, so I had that STEM background. And then actually, I didn't know what I wanted to do with my life again when I finished my degree. So I became an estate agent because, you know, it was good money at the time, and I was a people person. I hope I still am a people person. So I thought it would be really good to develop some people skills. And then I, you know, after a while, thought, actually, what do I want to do with my life sort of long term? And I ended up sort of leaving a state agency and going into do a law degree. So I went and did a law conversion. So I did the GDL and the LPC with the idea of becoming a lawyer, and then became a paralegal at an intellectual property law firm. So actually I was able to go into that IP firm as a paralegal because I had that STEM background, because intellectual property, obviously they like sort of STEM background. So that worked really well for me as well. And eventually after sort of a year or two, 3 years at that firm, I started to realize that maybe I don't want to be a lawyer. Maybe what I'm more interested in is sort of the project side of it.
What?
Yeah, exactly. I know, I'm all over the place. And what I really appreciated about the projects was just, you know, again, working with people, you know, having that collaboration piece and the technology, because part of projects is finding the technology that fits that. You know, that's what projects look like nowadays in law firms. And I know it's a long journey, but, you know, eventually I actually started thinking about coding. I started thinking, is this something that I might enjoy? Because I seem to really like tech, I really like the project side of it, so maybe I can sort of dabble in coding. And I did a coding course while I was still working in my third year at the intellectual property law firm. And at the end of the coding course, I realized that I had sort of all these skills, but I didn't really have a role for it. So I went out into the market and I started seeing, you know, is there something out there that sort of fits all of these different skills that I've built up over the years? And that's when I met Sean. You know, Sean Curran, who was starting this sort of legal tech team at Travis Smith. And, you know, we hit it off straight away. And here I am, you know, and the role I'm in now, amazingly, I never thought this would happen, but the role I'm in now, it actually has all of those skills in one. You know, I'm constantly talking to people. It has project management. It's got business analytics. It's got, obviously, I need an understanding of coding because I work with the engineers, and law, of course, because I'm part of a law firm and sort of have that legal background. So it's just fit all of those skills into a really great role.
It sounds like you started your career development right as, you know, in university, but not with the intention to work in tech. So you've taken from your experience and then sort of made the decision and been able to get into tech. And out of them, I sort of picked out maybe like the soft skills in your role, the people element, and then you've got the coding bit, which is quite important, and then the STEM sort of background. Out of the three, in your current role or your product engineering role and now current role as a legal product manager, which of those three has been the most important that you think, oh gosh, I couldn't have learned this, I needed all that experience to take to this role?
That's actually a really good question, and it changes depending on when you ask me. I think if when I left the state agency, I had this sort of feeling of I'm coming in late. You know, I had this, it was almost like a dread in the sense that, you know, everyone's already got law degrees. I'm 3-4 years behind all of these people who did a law degree at uni. By the time I finish my conversion, I'm going to be, you know, I had this feeling of, you know, what skills have I actually learned here? You know, am I going in, you know, on the back foot? But if you ask me now, I would actually say that the skills I learned as an estate agent, those soft skills that you learn, talking to clients, talking to people, having that confidence, you know, even the sales skills, you know, incredibly important in my role today. And I actually think that they're the more difficult things to learn. You know, you can always learn technology. You can go do a course. You can do this. I know there are courses in soft skills as well, but I actually think that soft skills, they need experience, they need time. You need to actually, you know, sit down and speak to people, speak to clients, see what it, you know, what that it's like, and sort of develop that over many, many years. And I'm now very, very grateful that I had those years, for example, as an estate agent, because I think those soft skills and those sales skills are really, really useful to me today. And I, you know, could never have foreseen that. So in terms of what's the most difficult to learn, I would definitely say the soft skills. You know, things like presentation skills are often overlooked. You know, I think employers realize the importance of presentation skills, but, you know, aspiring employees may not sort of see the benefit of that as much at the time. Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely agree with the soft skills thing. I've recently done a coaching course, not to be a coach, but to learn coaching skills. And I think as much as in the course, like you said, you can do the course, but where I've learned it the most is putting it into practice and learning all that didn't work that well and that did work well. And I do think that there's this thought that to work in technology, coding is the hardest thing. You have to know how to code. So, and most people I speak to who work in tech, you know, like you just said, actually it's the softer skills, being able to communicate. You can learn the technology, but yeah, having that experience probably is worth a lot more in terms of what you can bring to the role.
Yeah, with regards to tech specifically, I cannot tell you how refreshing it is to speak to an engineer who has an understanding of the business as well. It makes that conversation a lot easier. It also makes that, you know, it makes the time that's going to follow. So when you're managing the project, if the engineer has an understanding of how it's going to impact the business, they're way more able to sort of make, you know, the micro decisions that they have to make while they're coding. And I think that's often overlooked. You know, it's a lot easier for an engineer to be able to know sort of how they want to design the product if they have an understanding of the commercials as well. You know, those soft skills, even if you're in engineering, are actually really important and really refreshing sort of as a project manager to work with.
And so you work in legal tech and you are a paralegal. Like, do you have to have been a paralegal and be basically a trained lawyer to work in legal tech, or just your role? Like, how does that work?
It depends, really. I think at Travis Smith, we want to be as close to the lawyers as possible. We want to always be talking to the lawyers, especially in my team, in the products team. We want to be talking to the lawyers. We want to be as close to the lawyers as possible and sort of understand both the legal aspects and the technical aspects. And of course, to be able to understand the legal aspects in their entirety, it helps to have a legal background, to have a legal understanding, mm-hmm. at least to a certain degree. Now, you could learn that on the job, but it's definitely going to be a hindrance. But, you know, the engineers that we work with, they don't all have a background in law. Many of them do, but some of them don't. And they've sort of over the last 12, 13 years, you know, working in the industry, they've actually picked up a lot of those skills. And I was actually talking to an engineer the other day, and he had read through the terms and conditions of a technical specification for a tech product. And I don't think that's something that, you know, an engineer would usually do, but obviously sort of years working in the legal industry, they sort of picked up those skills as well. So I think you can pick up those skills. My team, you know, we do all have a legal background, but that's not to say that if I were to sort of speak to somebody who didn't have a legal background, they wouldn't be able to do my role, you know, as well. But, you know, it would be more difficult to sort of hit the ground running.
Yeah, that's good. That's interesting. Yeah, because I think also as well, having a bit of a balance. So I, for example, come from a retail background. I work in property development. And, you know, when I first started out, I didn't really know much about property development. And kind of not knowing helps you ask the right questions in some sense and not assume things. But then on the other hand, I think having someone that maybe does know the answer to some of the more simpler questions can probably help with your relationships with the stakeholders, so you're not asking the simple questions that seems obvious to them that maybe isn't to someone in that. So I guess, yeah, maybe hitting the ground running, like you said, having that legal experience benefits, but it's good to know that you can learn on the job as well. I think of anything worse than reading terms and conditions on a train classification, if I'm honest.
But I think they'll find it fun, which is really weird. But I think that, like, for engineers, it probably was fun. It's crazy. I was going to say that that's actually interesting because a lot of things you enjoy about your role are actually not unique to legal. And I can see there being parallels between what you do and someone perhaps having that journey in fintech, because they remove the financial, the understanding of the financial services industry, and they'll be quite lost because you need that to understand the products that they build. So I think that in your particular role, definitely the law helps, and understanding what triggers lawyers is definitely influential, because you're building those solutions for lawyers, so it makes a lot of sense. I had some questions to ask you, Karim, nothing too technical, but I love the fact that everything you've said highlights that at certain aspects in your career, it's okay not to know the next step, because in legal, it's mapped out from uni. So you do your law degree, then you get experience whilst you're studying, then you try to get training contracts, then you become a solicitor, associate partner. It's so easy to follow that traditional route, but your story actually says that if that's not for you, it's okay. You can figure it out at each step. And I was going to ask you that one of the things you've mentioned a lot is finding someone, and Leanne has this same experience as well, finding someone in the sector that helped you in terms of broadening your experience and gave you the opportunity in your role. And you've mentioned Sean a lot. So regarding last year and the whole of lockdown, I wanted to chat about this idea of sponsorship. What I noticed was that people used to say you have to network and meet the right people. But in the last couple of years, a lot of forums have been discussing how important it is to have people in your professional career who talk about you when you're not in the room. And that tends to give people an idea of your expertise and what you're capable of handling. So I'm just going to just throw this with all of you and say that, how do you think you can make use of those how can you build those relationships, especially during COVID? And was it easier for you before COVID? And now, how do you handle those relationships? Clearly, you're doing something right because you're a manager now. But
that's your secret.
Honestly, I resonate almost on a sentimental level with everything you just said, in the sense that it's actually, and if there's anyone listening who's in the same position, I actually struggle with that. You know, you know, even though I always knew, you know, on some level that it would work out in the end, at every step of the way, you're right, you're kind of thinking, how are all these skills going to come together? What does my future look like? Have I wasted my time with this? You know, and people kept telling me, they kept saying, no, you've definitely learned something. You don't even know how much you've learned, blah, blah, blah. And sort of your brain is in that moment is telling you, that was such a waste of time. I haven't learned anything that's transferable to the next position. But little did I know that wasn't true at the time. It sort of has all come together really well. And, you know, that really resonated for me when you said that, because I remember how I felt at the time, sort of being worried about, you know, the next step or stage of my life. And actually, if I could go back and give myself advice, I would just say, you know, don't think too much about sort of the future, because things sort of have a way of sorting themselves out almost. And if you just put yourself out there, eventually, you know, I sat back and I thought, I've now got all of these skills, how can I put them together? And the way I found Sean, a little bit of luck and a little bit of putting myself out there. So I was, you know, going to career talks, I was going to career days, I was sort of talking to a lot of recruiters, I went to a lot of interviews, and so it took me a whole year. You know, this didn't happen overnight.
Wow.
I was learning how to code, I was, you know, trying to figure out what the next step in my career was going to be. And I was putting my name out there as much as I possibly could, updating my LinkedIn profile constantly, talking to as many people as possible. And eventually, like you said, you know, I met Sean. And I think the key thing about Sean sort of talking about sponsorship is that he recognized that there might be some hidden potential. And that was key. And you're absolutely right. I think at some point in a successful career, someone needs to recognize your potential and give you an opportunity to blossom. And, you know, Sean did that for me. Travis Smith was the platform. And like you say, you know, now I've reached management. That is probably more difficult to do in COVID. Fortunately, I haven't had to do that in COVID. I sort of happened for me just before COVID happened. But we have recently hired, so I've recently hired another person to the team. I say hired, so we've recently taken in an intern. And we met him at a conference. You know, I was giving a talk with Oliver Mitchell at this conference, and he followed up with some really, really great questions, then sent us a LinkedIn message, and now he's doing an internship with us, and he's doing really well. So there are ways of sort of continuing that networking and sort of, you know, create opportunities for yourself, even in COVID.
Yeah, and I think it's really cool that you've taken on now yourself as a manager, giving other people opportunities. Because I do think that sometimes you don't know people's potential until you give them the chance. Like maybe they're just sort of sat there thinking, oh, I don't want to try this because maybe they haven't been asked to. I'm not too sure. Like I would always be trying keen to get the message out there to line managers as well to say, like, you know, give people a chance and give them the opportunities. Look, you didn't have necessarily a tech background and now you've been promoted in your tech role. And, you know, I came from retail and I had, luckily, like Mercedes said, had somebody that believed in me and saw a bit of potential and, you know, let me run with it. So it's so nice to hear that you're also now doing that for others and sort of taking that on. Hopefully we can get to a place where many, many more of the senior managers can give these people opportunities that maybe on paper look a bit all over the place, but actually recognize all of these skills that come together as one.
Yeah, it's so scary how much of an impact your manager has on your career. Because have you seen those LinkedIn posts where they're like, people leave a job or stay because of their manager? And it's just shocking that we're literally saying the same thing, that your manager can affect like whether you stay in a role or you don't progress. That's really scary. And then I have something to ask you guys. So we've touched on social media with Karim giving that example of LinkedIn. Now I want to chat about conferences. Because obviously before COVID, conferences were so crucial. They were seen as normal for a professional that during the year at some point you'd go to some sort of professional events. Leanne, I don't know, did you attend any conferences as well? And now everyone is, you know, second guessing that. So is, has something replaced conferences? Because I know the perks, obviously, working for ILTA, speaking at a conference adds to your brand, like your professional profile, and then just participating and even attending. But you've given us an example where someone actually made that connection with you at a conference. Because if it was a cold outreach on LinkedIn, you would have thought, who is this? I don't know you. But because of that first stage engagement at the at a conference, when they sent a follow-up LinkedIn, you were more warm to them reaching out. Like, is there a way to replicate that now, you know, since people are not too keen on going to conferences?
I think conferences are virtual now, which I think we're all still getting used to. You know, I've been part of a few conferences, a few panels as well. And I'm always really surprised by the number of questions that we get. There's a lot of interest. I think it's also the field, you know, legal tech now, like I said, is growing very quickly and people are really growing an interest into it. But we always get a huge amount of questions and people are really interested in learning more. And they'll often follow up with, you know, emails or LinkedIn messages. And I think that's key. You know, maybe we're not able to sort of go to physical conferences in the same way that we used to, although those are sort of coming back now. Even if you can't sort of make it physically, you're still able to engage, you're still able to ask questions, you're still able to follow up with, you know, the speakers that maybe you found interesting and sort of create some kind of discourse. You know, even throughout the COVID period, I've met, you know, peers as well, not just people asking questions, also people that I've seen giving talks that I thought were incredibly interesting. Yeah. And I've made an effort to get in touch with them and sort of create some kind of working relationship. So, you know, the conferences are still happening and we're still able to attend them, thankfully, whether it's virtually or in person. But you know, there is a point that in person, when you go physically, there's maybe more opportunity to speak to more people. But at least, you know, we're still able to sort of do that virtually. And a lot of the time, if you listen to a really interesting talk, there's still an opportunity to sort of create those channels of communication.
I think as well, like doing the follow-up thing and putting the work in is the same virtually or in person. I think you do have to put that work in. But also, you know, virtually, things that I've noticed and have been trying out during lockdown, you know, putting yourself out there in different ways. So you're not going to a conference and networking. But how Mercedes and I met is through a video I posted on LinkedIn. Like, rather than just posting like a message, do something that engages people and people can reach out to you. Or if they interact with your post, you can follow up with them that way. And there's like other ways to engage with people via social media if you can't meet them on person. And I found doing videos, I know it's a bit cringe, but once you get over the cringe and you can just put yourself out there.
No, but it's such a good skill, being able to create a video and edit it. I don't think it's cringe.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Honestly, on your phone, it's so easy.
We spoke about how COVID is a catalyst as well for a lot of technology. And you know, social media is so powerful and it's become even more powerful now. And, you know, at Travis Smith throughout COVID, we were also making videos. You know, we were making videos for a product. And that's something we weren't doing before. And we're putting them out on LinkedIn and, you know, on Twitter as well. So, yeah, I've never engaged with social media nearly as much as I have in the last year. You know, so I'm a really good example of, you know, how COVID has been a real strong catalyst for social media. So I actually didn't know that's how you met, and that's commendable. Leanne. You know, I think that's such a great way to get yourself out there.
Mercedes actually appeared in the video that I posted off the back of it.
Yeah, that's true. I shared a video as well, so I'm not too bad. Because I'm saying this because I'm just amazed at people that make money from YouTube, the way they jumped ahead of the curve. So I'm just looking at people that can use video, like, what are you doing? Go on, do something. Like, go on Twitch, like YouTube. Yeah, I find it so impressive. And I think going in the next couple of years, you will need to be able to have the ability to edit or do something technically with videos. It's just a no-brainer, really.
Yeah. And the only other thing I'd say with regards to networking as well is I tried to make a conscious effort to connect people that I think they would find each other interesting. And I have found it happens to me more and more the more I do it to others. You know, even part of the coaching course I mentioned earlier, the person that I was matched with emailed me just yesterday and said, I have a friend who is a data scientist. I think you two would get on great.
Oh, here's
his LinkedIn if you're interested. And then you have that mutual person then. And I think if you make the effort to try and intro at people, they will then think of you when they meet someone that you think. And I think that's just a nice way to sort of expand yours and other people's network. But if you make that effort, maybe people will make that effort with you, where it is a bit more challenging, but you're not going to see people in person. So I think that's a very community-driven networking that can be done.
I think that's a great point and a good way to wrap up. Before we do so, however, I want to invite Karim to share maybe one last kind of takeaway for our audience. What is the one thing, one piece of advice that you want to share? You've said a lot about, you know, how you enjoy working with people, but if you were to give advice to someone that's maybe not at the start actually, but in the middle of their journey, what could you think of? What do you think they need to hear?
I would say every single thing that you've done so far has given you a skill that you may not even know about. And every bit of your journey sort of builds you up as a person. And at some point, by putting yourself out there, by doing things like the networking we were just talking about, you will be giving an opportunity. And I would just say, you know, take that opportunity and you'll be given the chance to blossom. That's what I think would be the key takeaway.
Great. That's a good one. Yeah.
I love that. I'm doing it myself. Like, no, do
it now. It's not a seminar, Leanne. So on that note, thank you, Leanne, my co-host, and thank you,
Karim,
so much. Yeah,
thank you so much for coming
to share. Shout out to the team at Travis Smith. I know they're amazing, and especially Sean Curran. So, hey!
even got me excited about rolling out DocuSign. So, like, what?
Oh, my goodness.
Well.
You knew that this is recorded, so these words might haunt you in a bit.
I know.
Thank you, everyone, for listening and making it this far on the podcast. You can visit www.iltonet.org for more resources on career development. Bye, everyone.
Thanks for tuning into this ILTA Radio Fresh Voices episode. Check out more episodes and other ILTA podcasts on iltonet.org and all other podcast platforms.